Aslam Musaji joins us now, an executive in dispute resolution at the law firm ENS. Aslam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, John.
You agree, as so many legal commentators seem to agree, that this is a very appealable judgment.
Absolutely. I will be very surprised if this judgment survives after the hearing of an appeal.
On what grounds? Because, I mean, it all seemed to make so much sense, and we all, the citizens, got excited.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think rightly so, because a number of citizens have been frustrated. Save that there's two issues that I think I need to touch on, and the one is on the question of mootness, the other is on the question of rationality. As I understand it, when this particular application was launched, we were still under alert level 4, and the regulations in place at the time were alert level 4 regulations, and the attack therefore related to alert level 4 regulations. On the day of the actual hearing of this application, government had then promulgated the alert level 3 regulations and had announced that on the 1st of June, we would move to alert level 3. And the alert level 3 regulations were not placed before the court. So as far as I'm concerned, it was improper under those circumstances for the court, firstly, to have declared alert level 3 regulations invalid or unconstitutional. It wasn't properly before the court. That's the first issue. And in any event, the court ought to have found, well, the attack on the alert level 4 regulations is now moot because those regulations would no longer be in effect. Then the second issue is on the question of rationality. And the court was correct in saying that the exercise of all public power is subject to a rationality requirement. And the court also summarized that particular test correctly and pointed out that when assessing rationality, the court's role is not to determine whether some means will achieve the purpose better than others, but only whether the means employed by government are rationally related to the purpose for which the power was conferred. But having summarized the test correctly, where I think the court erred is then in applying that test. And it appears to me that the court then seemed to have applied a completely different test in testing rationality. And, you know, in a number of instances, what the court went on to do was to consider whether a specific regulation was rational relative to what was permitted or not permitted by other regulations. So just to give you concrete examples, the court said that it was irrational for mini cabs to be permitted to operate, but hairdressers could not operate. Another example, the court said it was irrational to prohibit people from visiting ailing loved ones, while it is permitted for up to 50 people to attend a funeral.
But Aslam, if I may come in as a layperson here, I mean,
yes,
what many of us have been saying is that it simply doesn't make sense to have one regulation allowing something and another regulation disallowing something where there seems to be no rational connection between what is allowed, what isn't allowed, and the general purpose of preventing COVID-19 infections. I mean, you know, so we're saying it doesn't make sense, and the judge summed that up for us. He said these regulations don't make sense, but that's different from a rationality test in law.
Precisely. I think you've encapsulated that really articulately. The issues of reasonableness and rationality are not one and the same. Whether something is reasonable or not is not the test when you're dealing with this sort of attack. The issue is whether it's rational. And that's a low threshold for government to get over. And the question there is simply whether the means employed is rationally related to the purpose for which the power was conferred. In that exercise, you don't deal with, can you achieve this in a different way? Is there a more effective way to achieve this? Also, the difficulty when comparing different types of regulations in order to determine whether something is appropriate or not is, let's take the funeral example with the ailing loved one example. We all know that there is, and particularly I think you in the Western Cape know better than the rest of the country, that there is really a need at the moment to curb the spread of the virus. And permitting people to go to a funeral may not be achieving that particular purpose. But that doesn't then translate into, well, allow people to go and visit ailing loved ones. It may be that you have to revisit the question of whether you allow up to 50 people to attend a funeral. So those are some of the challenges. The other peculiar thing about the judgment is that the court seemed to have declared all of the regulations as being unconstitutional and invalid, despite the fact that the court recognized that certain regulations like those relating to education, those dealing with the prohibition against evictions, those dealing with initiation practices, those dealing with the closure of nightclubs and gyms and the closure of borders were all rational. And unfortunately, the court didn't go into any detail about why the court took the view that that was rational. And it's easy for us after the fact and with the benefit of hindsight to criticize the court. I do appreciate that this was an urgent application, and literally the judge had a few days to turn the judgment around, and in the interest of certainty, he had to deliver the judgment.
But I think... Sorry, I'm running out of time, but Jackson and Tembo said Cabinet is convinced that they drew up regulations for Level 4 and Level 3 properly. I mean, in an ideal world, of course, I think the Constitutional Court needs to pronounce on this and pronounce on this quickly. But wouldn't it be nice if government took on board the spirit of the criticisms, even though they might be, in some cases, legally unsound, but took on board that and what the citizenry and various interest groups have been saying, and try to come up with a reframing of the regulations which make more sense?
And I think that's fair comment, but at the same time, I should also say that on some of these contentious issues, there's always going to be differing views.
Yeah.
And two good examples of that is the tobacco ban. Those that are not in favor of smoking are going to say it's a legitimate government interest in making sure that people are not smoking and people's health are not affected even further during this pandemic. There will be others that will be saying, but you're promoting an illicit black market and that's not helping, and you're promoting greater criminality.
Yeah.
Take, for example, the debate about the opening on places of worship. You know, there are those that be saying, gatherings can be a hotbed for infection, and therefore those shouldn't be permitted. There are others that are saying, spirituality is a very important part of people's
lives. The spiritual comfort that you get when you're part of that gathering and you prepare to take the risk and so on. Thank you very, very much. I've had several WhatsApps applauding Aslam Musaji for the very clear way that he has explained some complex issues. So great gratitude to Aslam Musaji, who's an executive in dispute resolution at ENS.